Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 124 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And with me on the line once again via Skype from Melbourne, Mr. Shelton Muller on a Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Sunday morning. The things we do for our, you know, our beloved
for our audience. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. I've just had my first coffee. I've finally showered, shaved, and put on some clothes.
How we suffer for our art.
Yes, and for those who love us. Yeah. Yes, yes, we are the modern day messiahs of photography.
That's it.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, mate. I'm sorry.
Likewise.
I've given you the runaround the last couple of days.
No, that's okay.
Me and my schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you had a couple of shoots on this week.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, your clients call, and, you know, that's what you have to do. It's
and
just the way it is.
We won't mention the fact that you left your camera bag behind and had to double back to pick it up. No.
Okay. We won't mention that. We won't mention that. Oh, man. I'm telling you what.
That must have scared the crap out of you.
Look, just to give everyone some background, I was doing a shoot. I have this company that does the PR for new housing estates. Now,
right.
The thing about this is that you turn up and it's a dust bowl, right? Or it's
right.
They need photographs of how it's getting on. You know, they have a website. They need to show people, look at this estate. It's coming along. And you have to go out there and you have to make pretty much something out of nothing.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, let's talk about that today, because really that is a lot to do with being a photographer. But here, just to give you a background, I was tired. They gave me the shoot to do at a ridiculous time of year, this time of year in Melbourne. You know, I had to start at about 3:30, and I had so many locations to shoot. I needed to show the
3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I needed to show all the facilities around this estate, you know, the shopping centers, the schools, you know, and photograph, etc.
So you've got like an hour and a half of daylight.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And then I was to meet. Yeah, I know. This is crazy. I said to the young girl at the PR company, I said, look, you realize what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially considering that they had organized for me to photograph a family, but the family couldn't actually turn up till about 5:30. Now, thankfully, they decided they'd turn up at 5 o'clock, and I had maybe 15 minutes to do some photographs with them standing on their block of land and doing the,
right.
We're the new family on the, you know, on the block kind of thing, literally. And they were lovely people, really, really lovely family to work with. But I was just rushing around so much. I'd spent most of the afternoon just taking snapshots of shopping centers and schools and things like that. One camera, one lens, get out of the car, walk around 28 to 80 or 2870 to 2875 lens and la, la, la.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd been used to just walking around with one camera, one lens all afternoon to keep it simple. But this one particular shot with the family, I got a gear out of the car and walked over to the house that was being built, and I was photographing away, you know, la da 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 da, got it all done, and then, you know, we made our goodbyes and thanks, and I drove off. Well, I drove a fair way before I realized that I had left all my gear on this work site, except for my camera and lens, which were sitting on the front seat of my car as I drove.
Yeah.
So, you know, pulling over by the side of the road, checking my back seat, checking the boot of my car. Realizing that I'd left all the gear over there, said a few things I don't normally say, get back into the car, and drive like an idiot back to the site. I phoned the family because I thought, well, they live closer to where I was, and by the time I'd got there, he already arrived, and he'd found my gadget bag and was walking towards my car with it in his hand.
Oh, wow.
Oh, complete with all my lenses and all my gear. Thank heavens for that, but I tell you what, it puts a little bit of a scare through you.
Your heart would have been in your throat.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't remember where I was, but I remember doing something very similar about 6 months ago. I think we were out for a day. I put my camera bag down somewhere while I did something, and then I've walked away, and it must have been like, you know, 5 minutes later at least, and I've suddenly thought, where's my camera bag? And then I've suddenly remembered where I'd put it down, and I had to bolt back to wherever it was that I'd left it, and thankfully it was still sitting there. But yeah, I know exactly what you went through.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
and you're thinking, okay, now let's if I've lost all my gear, okay, what do I do? Yeah. Well, I'm just going to need this and this and this. That'll get me by for a while, and then I'll sort it all out. It was really scary. But like I say, thank heavens it was all there. And and if you've had some issues, I don't know whether you've had bandwidth issues this last couple of minutes while we've been recording, but I've been uploading a new video to YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that's been okay. But last night after spending, the day...
Oh, you did a workshop yesterday.
Doing a workshop, yes. Mm-hmm. I did a workshop, Understanding Your DSLR workshop. And with Glenn Lavender, who's running the Creative Photo Workshops website with me.
Yep.
And Richard and Tamara from 5 Minute Photographer, Richard Annable, of course, very famous on this podcast, and his girlfriend Tamara, who's just wonderful. He was there to help out as well. But after the workshop yesterday, we decided that I was invited out, and I invited Richard and Tamara to come with me. They came back to my place. We changed and got into some nicer clothes, and we went out last night to this event that was being run or being supported by an advertising agency company that I work with. And they'd invited me down to support, some charity or something. So I thought, yeah, I can go and have a meal. But the band got us up, me and Richard, to sing. There was Richard on the drums, me on guitar and vocals, and the advertising agency fellow, David Gattels, that I've worked with for many years, is a good friend. He was doing backup harmonies. And we did this version of Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh, so, what a great track.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a great song. We sort of blues and rock it up just a little bit and build the tempo just a bit. And Tamara, who's Richard's girlfriend, she's recently bought herself a Nikon D90.
Right.
So, of course, she was there with her 85mm 1.8 because, of course, if she's going to be Richard's girlfriend and my friend, she has to have a Nikon 85mm 1.8. Otherwise, we just don't want to associate with her. So she was able to record it in some fairly high quality video. The sound is not that good because the band was pretty loud, she was able to record it in some nice, high quality video at f1.8. We've got a video up on YouTube of Ain't No Sunshine. If you're on my Facebook, of course, it's there. And if you're on 5 Minute Photographer, I'll probably put a link. I'll put this video all over the place.
I'm sure you will.
But of course. I tell you, Richard's a great drummer.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. He's just a fabulous drummer.
Awesome.
So now you play the blues harp, don't you, Bruce?
I do. I do.
Do you feel a Shutters Inc. band or 5 Minute Photographer band being formed here?
It'd be interesting. We should. What about an end of year, party,
with us as the band as well?
Well, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not indeed? I love playing the blues. You play a blues harp. Richie on the drums.
Yeah. I'm sure we can scrape up a bass player from somewhere.
Well, Richard plays bass, he plays guitar, he's not a bad singer either.
It's a bit hard to do any of those when you're playing the drums.
Well, here's the thing, we have Mikey Krillick, who's on 5 Minute Photographer, and a listener
Evan as our blues, as our brass section.
Evan's the brass, and I'm sure there's quite a few listeners here at 5 Minute at
Hope Shutters you don't Inc. mind being drafted, Evan.
Evan on brass, and we'll see. Mikey Krillick can play drums.
Oh, okay.
Richard and him can swap.
Well, look, how about we float this idea? If anybody would be interested in a combined Shutters Inc. 5 Minute Photographer end of year party in Melbourne. It would have to be after the 27th of December because for the 12 days prior to that, I'm going to be on a ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But I reckon, if we had something, the last couple of days of the year, if anyone's interested, I think we should do something, book a restaurant, everyone get together. And even if you're not in Melbourne, I think people should make the effort
For a cheap airfare.
Come on down.
Melbourne's a great town.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you're in the United States or Great Britain and listening to this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not suggesting that this be limited only to our Australian audience. If anyone wants to come from overseas, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on.
Let's just solicit some feedback. You know, if you if you like the idea, then give us a yell and say, "Hey, yes, I'd be interested. Keep me informed," and we'll then start planning something.
All right.
And based on the quantity of feedback we get towards the idea, so we'll scale the event accordingly. What do you reckon?
I would be in for that, absolutely.
Mate, that sounds like a great idea.
You realise, of course, that you will not tear me away from the microphone. So if anybody else wishes to share lead vocals, I'm sorry. That position is taken.
You forget, I'm an audio engineer, pal.
Well, at least you know one thing. The sound will be awesome.
That's right.
So, but I can imagine you, you know, putting me through some sort of audio, you know, effects, of course, making me sound like Daffy Duck or something, you know.
We can organize that.
I'm sure you can. Well, you know, let's float the idea. Okay,
yeah,
the idea
I reckon
is
that
officially floated.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Absolutely.
Bring it on.
I reckon it'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be a great fun. I can imagine a whole new thread on 5 Minute Photographer being started, you know.
Definitely.
About the plan. And, of course, at audiotu.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it's done. We're good. And if you, of course, we have to do Ain't No Sunshine with Bruce Williams on blues harp.
Mate, I'll as long as if we work out a few songs in advance, I'd be happy to learn up some harp parts.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Earth calling Bruce Williams. You're going to be on the stage all night, man. I mean, all we'll probably get time to do is throw some three-chord wonders at the audience. So it'll be a blues night.
Absolutely.
It'll be a blues night.
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good.
Enough of that. Fantastic. Good thinking. I like the whole idea.
Excellent.
We'll have enough. Well, look, all we need is a couple of dozen people, and it's a party.
Mm.
You know, and that shouldn't be too hard to organize. I reckon we'll make it happen.
Cool.
Money
cool.
Happen.
Sounds
and
good.
You're on a boat in the Pacific. What's with that?
I didn't realize I hadn't mentioned this.
You haven't mentioned this,
no. Right. Okay. All right. Well, I suppose I better then. what happened was after last Christmas. Not that anything bad happened last Christmas, but we got home after Christmas. 2008 and said, you know, we really should think. What are we going to do next Christmas? And I said to Kath, you know what? We have not had a Christmas with just the three of us since the year that Max turned one. And he'll be 9 this year.
Fantastic.
And I said, you know, it'd be really nice just to have a quiet Christmas with just the three of us. You know, not that we, you know, have any issues with our family. We love spending time with the family. But every now and again, you just want to have a nice quiet Christmas to yourself.
Yep.
And I actually floated the idea with Kath. I said, hey, how about we go on a cruise? And she had sort of mentioned cruises a couple of times to me in the past, and I'd always poo-pooed them, and then here I am suggesting it. And she said, well, hell yeah. So we looked into it, and it turned out that there was this 12-night cruise leaving Sydney on the 17th of December and getting back. Is it the Cats? Oh, Kath's just walked in with a coffee. It's actually getting back on the 29th, so the end-of-year party would have to be after that. Maybe we could make it a 2010 year-in party. But so anyway, so we've got this 12-night cruise, leaving Sydney the 17th, getting back on the 29th. So we have Christmas at sea, and it goes out from Sydney. It goes to Noumea, Port Vila Vanuatu, Isle of Pines, and I think from memory there's one other port somewhere. I can't remember what it is at the moment. I know it's not Fiji, but that's somewhere else out there. And the rest of the time is spent at sea.
Wow.
So and the great thing is, because Max is, you know, he'll be 9, he can go to Kids Club, and Kids Club, they run 3 Kids Club sessions every day. It's like 9 till midday, 2 till 5, and then 7 till 10 p.m.
You'll have a ball.
Oh, absolutely. And you can have extended child minding till 2 a.m. if you want it. So if you really want to have a late night.
I'm not going to touch that one, Bruce.
No.
I'm just not going to touch that one.
But either way, you know, it's going to be a great 12 days to just chill out, relax, no computers, no phones, just chill out and do nothing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
We do expect you to take your camera.
Oh, mate, I will be taking my camera and my video camera.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
million. Our holiday, our Christmas cruise videos on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I can see it now.
Absolutely. So.
Well, we're going to have to put Shutters Inc. on hold during that time because I think
obviously.
Skyping might be a little bit difficult. And come to think of it, you probably just won't want to do it. But all right, so we'll make it a get together just for the hell of it in the new year. All right,
sounds good.
Fantastic. All right, I'll try and keep my voice in, and I'll practice a better guitar between now and then.
And I think we should aim for a Saturday night.
Okay, absolutely.
Does that
make sense?
Yep.
Yep. That sounds fantastic.
So look up on the calendar, find out what the dates are, because I don't even know
Saturday, what day. Early in January, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Awesome. All right, everyone, you have been officially notified.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, shall we get on with the podcast?
Why not?
Okay, before we...
Now that we're 15 minutes into it.
Well, yeah, that's right. I've just put up on Facebook that I'm recording this podcast, and Aaron King has said, yay, more giggling to annoy my bosses with. So Aaron must sit there.
It's a giggle fest.
Giggle, crap. Interesting photography stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, we're going to continue discussing what, you know, Landon has been so gracious with blessing us with. And I think there's some really good stuff here. And I don't mean that sarcastically. It's just fantastic questions. And we've been receiving some really lovely comments about the nature of this podcast, which concerned me because I was under the, you know, I've always been under the impression that people want photography techniques, and I'm sure they do, but it's that this section has been so well received is interesting to me on two fronts, that, you know, there are people interested in this aspect of photography, and of course there are listeners, obviously to some degree or of some relatively high proportion, who are interested in making money from their photography, mate.
Yeah.
You know, so let's continue talking about it, and we really do appreciate your input. We signed off last week by talking about the fact that, you know, there are nuances of your clients, and there are specific client needs, et cetera, that a photographer must be aware of, concerned with, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that Landon mentions here, and I know that I have been very guilty of and am very aware of now, is not biting off more than you can chew. In other words, knowing your limitations.
Right.
When I first started as a photographer, you're keen to build relationships, you're keen to get new clients, you're keen to make money, of course, you're keen to establish yourself, and I was very keen to take whatever job was thrown at me, and at times I actually did myself and my clients a huge disservice by not being as honest as I should have been, or perhaps as modest as I should have been, you know, knowing my limitations. I had nowhere. There were times that I was given work to do, a client would call, or someone my client had recommended would call. And that's very exciting. When your client recommends you to somebody else, one of their clients, that's very exciting. But it can be so exciting that you tend to lose track of the logic of this and lose track of who you really are. And what you actually can do is not only destroy the client that you've been recommended to, but the client you've been recommended by. You know, you can destroy that relationship if you're not careful. Because your client recommends you in good faith to one of their clients. You muck things up for that client, which means, you know, that your name is mud with your old client as well.
Yeah.
So be very, very careful. There were times that I accepted jobs for which I, A, did not have the experience or the know-how to handle, did not have the equipment to do, you know, to cover.
Right.
Because I'd take the job and then think, now how the heck am I going to do this?
Right.
And so you really do need to be very, very careful of what you accept. I received a job once, and I had to hire a whole studio. I hired an assistant. I went into a lot of debt, you know, on a tab with my supplier, getting the equipment I needed, etc. And I just mucked up the whole job, and it was terrible. You know, it really was. Yeah, it was terrible. It was good thing it was about 20 years ago, and I learned a lesson and got over it after paying all my debts with other jobs.
Yeah.
Because the client just didn't pay me, and that's fair enough. Neither should he have. But I did burn some very important people, and it's cost me. If I had basically modestly said, "Look, I have not. I'm used to you working with you at this level. This is the kind of photographer I am for you."
Right.
But I'm not this kind of photographer. I can't do this. This is a huge studio shoot that I accepted,
right,
and I shouldn't have. That client, which was a large company, never ever worked with me again, and I don't blame them. So I lost a lot of money over the years by doing
that. Having said that, though, there are some business people who seem to almost thrive on that kind of challenge.
Mm.
You know, and I don't know if it's just the kind of person you are. I mean, I'm with you. I would not be comfortable saying, yes, I can do something if I couldn't. But yeah. But I do know people who operate in that fashion, who will say yes to a job that they've never attempted before and will then go, okay, how do I make this happen?
Yep.
So I don't know what the line in the sand is there. I can appreciate your point of view, though. That would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I learned from that. And I think every photographer, everyone in business goes through this. You learn from these terrible mistakes that you make. I'd rather learn from my successes, but hey, that doesn't happen in real life. Let's get real here. I believe in learning from your successes photographically, as in terms of your images. But in business, you know, unfortunately, you learn often from your mistakes.
Yeah.
I think the line that you draw is humility and modesty. And you know, we're photographers, so we don't have any of that, but you have to basically say, can I do this? What will be the cost of funding it? Secondly, what will be the cost if I muck it up? And there's a good chance that I might muck this up. I've never done this before. I don't have the equipment. I don't have the facilities. I don't have the experience. I don't have the know-how. I just want this job and I want this money.
Yeah.
And you know, you have modesty and understanding of your limitations will stand you in good stead. After having learned this, a client called me recently, and it's funny, it was this very client whose band I was playing with last night. Yeah, he fronts a band. But he rang me a few weeks ago and he said, look, Shelton, we've got this shoot to do. And he explained it to me, and it was incredibly complex for me. Not in terms of know-how, but in terms of getting the thing set up. It required a studio with sets being built and plumbing and sinks and showers and all sorts of... It was a huge thing. And I could have made a hell of a lot of money on it if indeed I had the facilities to do it. Did the idea tempt me? Oh, yeah. But I remembered what I did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you over the phone. And yep, no worries. I'll get you a quote. La, 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 la. I sat down. I gave it an hour's thought. I did my sums. I rang him back and I said, look, Craig, I can't do this shoot. And I really appreciate that, you know, you've called me first because I am their preferred photographer. And that's really fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, look, I just can't do this shoot. I'm not set up for it. And if I take this job, I risk stuffing you around and mucking you about, taking time, not producing the image, and you will only hate me at the end of it. And he said, mate, that could never happen. And I said, oh, yeah. Trust me on that. So he thanked me.
Step into my time machine.
Yeah, step into my time machine. Yeah. And,
did you suggest a photographer for him?
No. Right. I said, look, I can make some inquiries for you to find out who will do this. I couldn't think of anyone that I knew personally off the top of my head anyway. If I'd given it another few minutes, thought I probably could have. But he said, no, mate, no, there's someone else that we can ask. And, you know, I caught up with him recently and I said, listen, how did that thing with the sinks and the showers and the whatnot go? Mate, fantastic. Cool. I went, you know, I was talking about it with him. He said, really good. Thank you so much for, you know, telling us the truth and being honest with us. And hey, I've retained the relationship. I didn't make the money.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I don't think at the end of it, I would have made a heck of a lot of money anyway, because I would have had to have established a lot of things, paid for a lot of things that the studio already had established.
I think you actually earn a lot more credibility for that type of approach.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
Because they will go, well, wow, that's pretty amazing that this guy who we were prepared to, you know, pay thousands of dollars to do a job was prepared to turn it down because he didn't feel prepared enough for it.
Yep.
Rather than just take the money and run. And
yeah.
And I think you earn huge credibility for that.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I know that, look, I got a handshake and a thank you. The art director there, Alan Fox, or Foxy as we call him, he came in and he said, yeah, no, it all worked out, mate. We just had to do, you know, a bit of Photoshop and because they couldn't do everything perfect in the studio, you know. But he said, no, it all worked out great. And yeah, so I've retained a client and that place will get the work that I can't do. You're always very, very, you have to be very, very careful when you say no to a client, though. This is the other, you know, and when you recommend another photographer. That's why I've got a team of friends, you know, that I will recommend.
Right.
You know, Richard Annable, for instance, who's become in the last, you know, 12 to 14 months, very capable photographer. My good friend Greg Bayer, and a couple of other photographers that should I be unable to do a job, I can say, look, I know someone, I'll get them to call you. And I know that I can, and another, Glenn Lavender, another classic example of a good friend I can send on a job.
Yep.
And they will go down there, they will do the shoot, but they will not promote themselves. And that, and you, because you really don't want another photographer coming in and saying, oh, hey, look, by the way, my name is, awesome dude, and I'd like to introduce myself to you. You have to be able to trust this person that you send in your stead, not to take your client, not to try to steal the relationship. And, you know, I've been caught out by that in times past. And you know,
likewise,
okay. Well, I've just rung up this fellow and said, hey, what the hell do you think you're doing, you know? And you get this. None of my friends, of course, would do that. But you know, a photographer you recommend for the job you've met, he does this kind of work. Oh, okay, you know, well, better to help my client than give them someone than nobody. And you send in this fellow, and he goes in and hands his cards around, and you know, all that kind of thing. And your client is confused because maybe your client thinks, oh, maybe Shelton doesn't want to work for us anymore. This fellow's handing out his cards. And so now they've established a relationship with this loser who's betrayed your trust.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. That's, you know, if someone asks me to go and shoot on their behalf, I will shoot on their behalf. But if that client
says, as if you were a subcontractor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if that client then says to me, oh, look, can we have your card so we can contact you? I would say no. You know, really, thank you so much for asking. But if you need work done, you should go back to, you know, the photographer that you normally work with. And I would be happy to work for you at any time, provided I have his permission. And that is, you know, because he can't do the job or for whatever reason.
Right.
He doesn't, you know, he can't maintain this relationship anymore because of his schedule or whatever. And that's what I would expect a photographer that I would send in on my behalf to do. I think that's just ethical and fair, but I have had it the other way, and it just is not a good thing. So, you know, there's the biting off more than you can chew, but then what do you do when you can't do something for your client? Have a few photographers as friends that you can trust who'll go in your stead. You know, I think that and not take your relationship, because as we said in last week's podcast, and I know this concept has been well received by some of our listeners, that the whole idea of relationships, you know, via establishing relationships from relationships is very, very important. Although Jim Rockwell made an interesting point, didn't he, Bruce, about the cold call?
Yeah, now refresh me on that.
Well, his email basically said that, and I agree with him, and just to simplify his email, he said, look, it does work, but you have to do your research. You have to do your research on the client. Who are their clients? What kind of photographers do they need? What kind of photography do they have or not have? And you can, you know, set up appointments. I would suggest that, you know, Jim has been successful in so doing, and great, that's fantastic. It's just that it's a very time-consuming thing, and I've not had much success with it.
Yeah.
But obviously Jim has. And Jim, hey, if you're listening, thanks so much for that. I would love to hear if you have any, you know, stories to tell, anything to add to this that perhaps I don't have the experience in or I haven't given a try. Because sometimes cold calling is all that a newcomer to photography has. If he hasn't got a relationship that we were talking about last week established, you know, or in the week before, then cold calling is the only option he has. Now, as I said, I don't have a lot of success stories to talk about with regard to cold calling. But Jim, if you do, we'd love to hear from you, mate, because I think that would be a great lesson for all of us. If you've got, you know, advertising agencies, PR companies, you know, magazines and publishing companies, and you've cold called them and you've been successful, fantastic. You know, that would really be fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing that I wanted to talk about and I have mentioned this before in Shutters Inc. In podcast past, is your ability to, and I mentioned this at the start of this podcast, your ability to make something out of nothing, which is what I was doing when I left all my gear on a work site. And I think that's a very important skill to have, because your skill as a photographer is not to take something beautiful and awesome and you know, take a picture of it, but often they send you out there because they have absolutely no idea what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And a couple of cases in point. When I was out at this dust bowl of a new estate, there were a few frames being put up of houses, and there were some roads put in. There were a few machines putting up buildings and that kind of thing. And I was there in some very, very late afternoon light, which happened to be quite pleasant. And I think that in this particular case, I went around with my 20mm Nikkor, and I photographed some of the building frames, the houses that were being built, up close with a wide-angle lens in very late afternoon light. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the images on the back of my camera thinking, well, actually, that's a nice shot.
Yep.
And I don't think that my client would have any idea. For me, it was simple. Put on a wide-angle lens, yeah. Get some late afternoon light, get up close, and bang, you know. Robert is your father's brother.
Yeah.
But, I don't think your client, who's not a photographer, has no idea what you've done to establish this shot, and just goes, well, that's awesome. For you, it's simple, but for them, it's awesome. Same situation happened the other day on Thursday, I think it was, or Friday, I can't remember.
Right.
I had to go into Tuesday. Sorry. Anyway, I had to go into town. Days fly so quickly when you're
having fun.
renowned, infamous photographer such as myself.
Yeah.
That's why I get all these dust bowl jobs. yeah. Somebody, please give me Miranda Kerr or Megan Gale to photograph. You know, and it's, yeah. No, I'm only kidding. I love my clients. I really do. I had to, my client rang me up and his email said, look, I don't know how the hell you're going to do this, Shelton, but because it's really boring and we have absolutely no idea how you're going to make this look good, but we know you'll make it look good. Anyway, I turn up at this shopping center where I had to do some photographs, and I was taken down into the bowels of this labyrinth underneath it where all the pipes were for their sprinkler, their fire sprinkler system.
Yep.
Now, the idea of the behind the story for the magazine that I was about to shoot the front cover for and had no idea what I was going to do, the idea was that, of course, Australia is facing some serious water issues. We are a country stricken by drought all the time. And anybody who comes up with a great money water-saving idea is a hero. So these people have come up with this idea of saving water with the sprinkler system for the shopping center. And I had to photograph the pipes underneath the shopping center.
Right.
Well, what the heck are you going to do? You know, so I got out my 14mm lens. I found some of these red pipes that formed a frame. With the piping, they formed a frame that I walked up to very close with my 14mm.
Mm-hmm.
I set my off-camera flash up over in a corner. I didn't bring a lighting stand with me, idiot. So what I had to do was put the camera on self-timer and become my own voice-activated light stand by holding my Nikon SB800 myself. In the corner beside my shot. So I set the camera up. I got these two guys who were in the story to put themselves in the frame and interact with each other, you know, and while the shot was being taken, put the camera on self-timer and took a series of photographs using the wide-angle perspective that a 14mm uses or has, and some off-camera flash work to add some lighting dynamics from behind. So I walked around at an angle behind these two guys and sort of lit them from behind with the flash. Well, the shot worked. It looked very dynamic, 14mm lens perspective, off-camera flash to give me some rim lighting highlights and that kind of thing. I uploaded the images to my client, and the publisher absolutely went ballistic on how great the shot was.
Excellent.
I'm really pleased. I was at the workshop that I was running yesterday. One of the girls who works for this publishing company, unbeknown to me, was sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
And she came up to me at the end of the day and she said, yes, Shelton, you're abs. Because I mentioned this actually at the workshop yesterday that,
right.
You know, knowing simple techniques can get you in good with your clients and can make something out of nothing. And she came up to me later at the end of the day and she says, well, I actually work for this publishing company and I've really enjoyed the day. And you're absolutely right. The publisher saw the photograph and he just went nuts. He absolutely loved it because they wondered what the hell you were going to do with something as boring as a bunch of water pipes under a shopping center.
Yeah.
So here's another way you keep your client. You know, don't expect everything to be wonderful. Don't expect everything to be beautiful. And in fact, your job as a photographer is to do the very thing that photographers are hired to do. Make something out of nothing. Mm. Anybody with $10,000 worth of lighting gear and a studio and a $10,000 a day model can make a great photograph. Anybody can. If they know what aperture to set their studio lighting and they've got a basic idea of fill and main, lighting, you know, kicker lighters, you know, if they've got these basic techniques and they've got a beautiful model, a great studio, anybody can do a great Cosmo cover. Forgive me. That and a bit of Photoshop and hey, yeah. Off you.
And hey, if you've ever seen someone who really knows what they're doing with Photoshop, you don't even have to have that brilliant an image to begin with.
Dude, that's exactly right, you know. So I think the real lesson for us as photographers, if this is what we're going to do, if we're going to be freelance guys who are willing to just say, hey, I can do that, be modest, be humble, know what you can and can't do, but understand that a lot of the times, as we've said often on this podcast, is the thing that will make you a hero to your client is if you can go down and find something exciting to do with something they think is so visually boring, they're hiring you to. That's how you keep your client. And my this magazine now just, you know, I could put my underpants on the outside, Pete, an S on my chest, and they wouldn't blame me. I could fly through their offices and they'd say, look, there goes our photographer. They love me that much.
Excellent.
And that's fantastic. I love that I've done that. That's great because they'll keep using me for their shoots.
Yeah.
And, hey, that feeds my family, pays my mortgage, and keeps me in the lifestyle to which I've become accustomed.
Now, listen, I saw something the other day and it got me thinking. I was walking from work over to the Macquarie Shopping Centre to grab some lunch. Mm. And they're doing a bit of roadworks near where I walk. And parked on the side of the road was, you know those like petrol-driven generators that they have that are made into like a trailer so they can actually tow it along behind a truck, right? So these things are not huge. They're only a couple of meters long and, you know, a meter and a half wide. But this thing was more than just a petrol-driven generator. It was obviously owned and leased out by a company called Daymakers.
Yes.
And it was like portable lighting measured in kilowatts.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, and while you were talking about going out and doing this shoot in the Dust Bowl at the late end of the day, I was thinking, would you ever contemplate, if you had to do a large outdoor shoot, would you ever contemplate using something like that to light a large area?
I think so.
Something where your flash is just not going to cut it.
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking of, you know, you're talking about building sites where houses are going up.
Yep.
If your daylight was seriously getting too far gone, would something like that be worth utilizing and hiring?
I reckon it would. I don't know what they'd charge you for it. But you know, it'd be fairly expensive. But hey, if your client's willing to pay, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to work out your white balance and all that kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's very hard to emulate daylight, but I think you'd get the best shot.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, they use this kind of studio lighting all the time outdoors on you know, on location even.
Yeah.
A lot of the movies that were made, you know, a lot of movies made these days use a lot of available light, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
But there's still a heck of a lot of artificial lighting outdoors, and these are the big white sort of balloon style. White balloons. Is that
no? These no? were you know, I've spoken before about my little yellow portable work light.
Yeah.
Right, uses the long, thin, narrow quartz halogen bulbs.
Yes.
Right. Well, these were like 1 kilowatt versions of those. You know, each of these was probably, you know, the bulb itself would have been about 8 to 10 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a tower of these things sticking out of the top of the generator. And there was probably, you know, 12 to 18 of these things, you know, on this tower. So, you know, there was probably, you know, 12 to 18 kilowatts of lights there. And I'm thinking, you know, because I saw the name Daymakers and just thought, well, obviously it would turn night into day. And I thought, I wonder whether you could get away with using that you know, if you had to light a large outdoor area for a shoot, whether you'd get away with using that.
I think you most definitely would. Yeah, I mean, right. Look at they use them very safely on building sites, etc. And you know, absolutely, I would consider it. In fact, I'm just writing down the name now, just in case.
I didn't mean to plug the company because I know nothing about them, but I just thought that would be so cool. You know, you know, if you had to have bucket loads of light, you know, way beyond what even if you had two or three flashes, probably still wouldn't get you anywhere near the quantity of light that something like this thing would produce.
Oh, true.
And I thought, yeah, that would be interesting. And it would be a continuous light source. It wouldn't just be a flash source.
And you'd always know where you stood. You'd be able to walk around and know the light source was the same.
Yeah, you'd see where the shadows were falling. Yep. You'd.
Yeah. I think I recently acquired a book that I would highly recommend. Two books, of course, but they're both by Joe McNally. And the latest one is Hot Shoe Diaries.
Oh, okay.
The Hot Shoe Diaries by Joe McNally. And I'm sure there could be a lot of people at this very moment listening to this podcast and go, oh, yeah. Oh, Shelton, yeah. Well, I've got that book. It's great. And Joe McNally has such a casual and free and easy way of writing that doesn't make you feel intimidated.
Okay.
In fact, he shows you, and I love this about this guy, he shows you the diagrams, hand-drawn diagrams of his lighting setups, right? That he plans pre-shoot or whatever. And he draws a little, you know, figure of himself and just calls himself Numbnuts in the book, you know. So here's a guy who has, you know, who has every right to have serious tickets on himself.
Yeah.
And doesn't, you know, and there are no tickets here to be bought, seen, or, you know. And I think that's really great. So he doesn't intimidate you at all, but he just writes about how he uses a lot of off-camera flash. He uses the Nikon ITTL CLS system, but I think he uses the radio poppers or I can't remember.
Pocket Wizards.
Wizards or Cyber Syncs or right. I don't think he uses the Nikon system per se, but he does use the Nikon system and its flashes, but I think he synchronizes off camera using Pocket Wizards. But look, if you're talking about emulating daylight when it's all gone or adding to it, his techniques for doing this are just fantastic and not difficult, really.
Right.
I just love the way he presents all of this. So if you haven't got a book and you want to read a great book, go out and get The Hot Shoe Diaries by Joe McNally. It's just a fabulous read, and I love the way this guy writes because he just makes you feel, yeah, you can do this. And, one of the things that I've often hated about, you know, photography writing is this tendency to elevate oneself and say, well, I can do this and I did that. And look, you know, I photographed this person. I'm driving around in my Maserati or whatever, or my Jaguar or whatever it might be, you know. Just this whole condescension thing that has been around for decades in photography. And I just find Joe's approach so refreshing.
Cool.
So go out and get this book, The Hot Shoe Diaries.
Excellent.
Absolutely fabulous.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's another one down.
Oh, another one down. We got it done between my schedule and my schedule.
Yeah.
You know, sorry to muck you about these last few days,
that's
mate,
right.
but
that's
one
fine.
Has to maintain the relationships with one's clients at all costs.
Absolutely.
Even if at the cost of our thousands of listeners. But we got it done. Here we are, Sunday morning, getting it done.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Yeah, you too.
And
you
I
too.
Will talk with you next week.
We look forward to 100 emails from various Melbourne and Sydney listeners, particularly saying, I'll be there and I want to be in the band.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Remember, if you want to send us anything you want us to discuss, please drop us an email, studio@audiotu.com or shelton@audiotu.com. And all right. We'll talk with you next week, mate.
You bet. Absolutely.
See ya.
See you soon. Bye.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@AudioToYou.com.